I'm Herman Groenewald, member of the committee and representing the Northwest Province.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
You're right.
Yeah. Now I'm correct. Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Zola Mlenza, representing the province of the Eastern Cape, member of the Select Committee.
Yeah, thanks. And good morning, everybody. You said there's a lady here. It's like a drop in an ocean. There are no ladies. I have Bruce Jacobs, the whip of the committee, coming from the Free State.
Good morning, Bontate. Limme. Usile le tsegile mo gara bontate wa kananga. You are well protected. Good morning, I'm Priscilla Temba. Representing Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces.
Good morning, my name is Putana Komphela, the MEC for Police, Roads and Transport in the Free State. I will not talk about my relationship and Priscilla.
No, you can tell me to do this, don't take time.
I would like to give this opportunity to the department as well as whatever who are here to introduce themselves.
Sanwaran Rotar, the Kamalaman Mangali Soratana Kama, Director of Good Transport Law Enforcement in the Free State.
Good morning. My name is Steve Musia. I'm the Secretary of the Free State Operating Licensing. The Walangwa Haitu, Kitola Hao, Chris Sabisa, from the Department of Transport at the national level. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Pokumalo from the Cross Border Road Transportation.
Yes, and Bonana was Gamalam TJ Park, which is Director of Transport Free State.
Good morning. My name is Mudumwaze Baloi from the Border Road Transport Agency.
Morning. My name is Matumelanama Akana from the Cross Border Road Transport Agency. I'm a senior manager for Cross Border Operators.
Good morning. My name is Kofi Kushudi from the Department of Transport and Industry.
My name is Ozias Kumudi from Santiago Free State, Deputy Chairperson.
Good morning. I am Daki Kumbu, the Chairperson of Santiago Free State.
Good morning. My name is Lehana Lieto, the Chief Director of Traffic in Free State.
Good morning. My name is Pule Motsoetla, Senior Manager, Police, Roads and Transport in the Free State.
Good morning.
morning. I'm Ronald Spearman from the Cross Border Road Transport Agency, responsible for regulatory legal services.
General
Munipal,
Cross Border Road Transport.
General Gaine Munipal from Cross Border Road Transport Agency, Executive Manager of Enforcement.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alphas Mameja from Cross Border Road Transport Agency. Regional manager.
Let me get from our staff.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Trevor McCartney. I'm a researcher for the committee.
Good morning, everyone. Should we finish some content advice to the committee?
Good morning, Pilot Kwebo, Committee Secretary.
Okay. I think we do have also visitors. We have visitors and also from whatever, whether it's media or whatever. May you please introduce yourself as well. And also from PMG. Mm-hmm. May you please introduce
yourself. My name is Tavane Mtembu, National Ministry of Transport, Assisting with Parliamentary Services.
Morning, my name is Bintu Barrow and I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning, my name is Udipa Jasa, Private Secretary for the MEC.
I think Cecilia Zana says it was something. You see, CDG started by committing this member. Maybe members of the South, maybe members of the committee, the South, to see if they were talking about the issue of agenda, but they're serious about it. And then, we need not compromise about it. I know the way they put it, they were clowning, so laughing. And I need not to dwell much about it, but please take us seriously. And we mean it. And sometimes committees are not aware that we do have rights to say comment. And once we said go back, it is a wasteful and what the expenditure. We don't want that scenario to take place. We do have powers and vices upon us to request such a thing because these people are taking us seriously. That's how we feel in MEC. We mean it and in the Constitution of South Africa. But nevertheless, we wanted to give you this opportunity because let me give a background. Some times ago, I'll come up with my son. We were expecting you to give us a feedback because some times ago we met in Fruste. That's where we realized that there is a challenge about the cross-border, the issue of the taxes around there. And then today, it's a D-Day where we were supposed to take a report that what are the developments since we left you. I'd like to give this opportunity over to you.
Honorable Chairperson, Babes Bande, Honorable MEC, Babes Kompela, Honorable members of the NCOP, colleagues from our Department of Transport, as well as including the provincial department, the visitors, I think the media, I'm not too sure, but visitors, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Honorable Chair, your opening remarks were quite touching, and Metemba also, her comments were also touching. We are looking into that in terms of our gender equity in our respective departments. We will do that. We do our utmost level best to do that. We are already addressing it in our Department of Transport at a national level. Equally so, as a transport family, that has been raised by our own minister and our own deputy minister to this effect. We will try our level best to address the imbalances of the past and make sure that we are equal to the challenge of gender equity and targets. We have taken note of that. Not that we don't take the NPO for Parliament seriously, but it has been the history with the Department of Transport where it has been made dominated. But slowly, we are closing those kind of gaps. Thank you very much for noting to us, and we really appreciate it. Well, I think, Honorable Chen, Honorable Members, when I started here on the 2nd of April, I was baptized in this committee on the 28th of May with the challenges that I found, and I was not too sure what was going on, but now I think I know what is going on. I took liberty to learn more quickly and fast as to what was going on, because on the 28th it wasn't a nice meeting at all. And I could see that this kind of concern comes from somewhere. And since then, we established a task team among ourselves, which was going to look into these matters that were raised by this committee on the 28th of May. I then took upon myself to assemble a team that comprised of ourselves as we are sitting here, as we have been introducing ourselves. Cross-border has been very central. I came from national. Free State was very central. And there's been meetings back to back to come to the bottom of everything what is going on in this cross-border in particular. And we wanted to focus on the cross-border between Lesotho and South Africa, because that was the bone of contention then. We also looked at, by the way, because what is happening between Lesotho and South Africa does not mean that it can't happen in other cross-borders as well, which we do manage as a country with our neighboring states. But our main focus, and in terms of this report, will focus mainly on the issue that pertain to Lesotho and ourselves, which is South Africa. I'll ask Dr. Menano, who is our secretary. We have appointed a permanent secretary of the task team by the name of Madumelana from the cross border. She's the only lady. Chairperson. She is doing extremely well in terms of pulling records together, meetings back to back. It has been very, very hectic, I must be honest. I would therefore ask her to take us through the report as to how far we have gone. But just to give an overview of what has happened, we looked at what was an instruction in terms of the model, the 1 to 5 options, reduced to 1, 4, and 5, and then to be tested in loco so that we can see whether it works or not. We've looked into that. We have task teams within ourselves, focus groups, focus teams to look into various aspects that were pertaining to us, the challenges at the cross-border. One of the task teams which was very crucial was the systems team. That was looking into the system itself, the owners, the inates, what have you, where the taxis or the operators are registered, their vehicles are registered, to see who is the legitimate one, who is not legitimate, so that we can start analyzing the symptoms to the root of it, not just scratching on the surface. We've done that. We've done some reports to that effect. We then, I want to thank the Select Committee for giving us ample time to deal with these matters. When we are here on the 28th, I thought it was going to be a two-week affair. But when you go down deep into the ground, we found that it's not even a three-week affair. It's more than that. So, but thank you very much for giving us ample time so that we can exhaust our expertise and our efforts to deal directly and vigorously and head-on with some other issues that we found on the ground. Having said that, we were then asked by the Select Committee Secretariat to come here and present. That was last week, if I'm not mistaken. My friend will confirm. But there were some glitches here and there, because there was a notion of me going to Zimbabwe with the minister and that. And we also wanted to brief the minister so that she is not left behind. So we thank you very much once again for allowing us this opportunity on the 22nd, which is today, not last week. So we thank you very much for that again. Thank you very much. So when we look at the report now, which I would ask our secretary to take us through, you will see that we submitted a report on Thursday after receiving an instruction from the Select Committee to submit a report so that the members can have a look at in preparation for the today's meeting. We had some comments from our team members who felt that they needed to submit some other input to the report, which received us after we have submitted the report as per the instruction of the Secretariat of this committee. We since then looked into that, and that is the presentation we are going to present, which is comprehensive and have all the inputs from these other committee members of this committee task team that we have set up. So it has been highlighted so that you can see that the report we are having with those highlights that our colleagues have also, have as an input to the report. You'll also see that, it's color-coded so that we can see that it's an input that was submitted after we have submitted this report to the Select Committee. So I'm just wanting to paint this picture so that we understand that it's not a different report that we are presenting to what you received, but some of the additional information from the members of the task team that felt that information was crucial to be part of the report. Unfortunately, that information was submitted after we have submitted the report as per the instruction by the Secretariat of this committee. I just wanted to clarify so that when members look at the report which is being presented, members must not be taken aback as to what is this color coding, what does it mean, and why this is not the same as what you are having already. So I think I just wanted to say that. I would therefore request our secretariat to take us through, and I requested that she just reflect a little bit on the 2012 deliberations and resolutions, and then we move forward from the 28th of May 2013 to date as to what has happened since then. That is how far I would like us to go as a way of introduction of the subject to the Portfolio Committee today. I will therefore request our secretariat to take us through the report.
To the Select Committee, not Portfolio.
I'm sorry. Honourable Chair and honourable members, I'm very sorry. Just that it has been back to back. I'm very sorry. This Select Committee. Yes. I'm public service. I'm sorry about that. So I would therefore request our secretary to take us through the report as discussed, and then we will pause, and then we'll be advised as the way forward when we come to the end of our presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Over to you. Thank you.
Because
The agency then came to exist and started regulating the market through issuance of permits. The Free State operators complained about the economic bypass. And this meaning that they were not having a share on the cross-border market. And some RSA-based operators eventually got to entertain the cross-border market, and they opted for, to approach cross-border market to acquire payments. And they since then developed some partnership with some Lesotho operators, to which was found to be distasteful to Free State operators. And the Free State operators were eventually left out and experienced a loss in terms of a portion of the market share. The situation at the border town is currently not stable, and the information that was given was also from time to time not found to be reliable, and apparently does not demonstrate the reality of what's happening in the ground. The problem then is further aggravated by the fact that the approaches that the law enforcement officers use, that is from the cross-border angle and from the province, tend to differ, and that adds fuel to the whole problem. The implications of this problem now result in the fact that there's non-compliance to domestic legislation, and the legislation that we're talking about is the Cross-Border Road Transport Act and the National Land Transport Act, and other pieces of legislation that are affected. There's impeded flow of passenger traffic, in the sense that when you define cross-border transportation, we're talking about moving from point A in South Africa to point B in the Lesotho and vice versa. But that flow is impeded. It's not happening as it's supposed to be. There's also congestion at this border town, and also security integrity is defended. There's compromised diplomatic and trade relations between the Republic of South Africa and Lesotho at the moment, and non-compliance to provisions of the South African Customs Union's Memorandum of Understanding in road transportation is currently violated, and there's ongoing violence, criminal activities, and unpleasant trade conditions. Coming to the brief recap of what has been done to date in trying to resolve this situation. In 2004 and 2005, when violence erupted, or when these difficulties came to be, a memorandum of agreement was entered into between SABOA, SANTACO, LPTCA, and cross-border road transport operators. They entered into agreement, and apparently what happened thereafter, the situation calmed down, because this was agreed on by operators themselves. And then the amendment of the Cross-Border Road Transport Act then followed, and in 2009 a window was opened. I think I wish to believe that it started around 2008. A window was opened whereby an opportunity was offered to operators to convert their old order of permits and operating licenses to acquire cross-border permits. However, there was some resistance, and operators did not buy into that, and that did not happen. So that, after the upliftment of the moratorium in March 2009, the violence activities then resurfaced, because that problem was not solved at all. In 2010, I think this followed a presidential visit to Lesotho or something to that effect. The Lesotho Transport Department, the National Department of Transport, CBRTA, Free State Provincial Department, and the City of Joburg had a meeting where a task team was formed, and this task team was led by the CBRTA. The task team then visited Free State on a fact-finding mission, and compiled a report on findings.
There was later as well a visit by General Sele to inspect security situation at various borders, and there was also some inspection in loco at Van Royal Gate and Maseru Bridge. There was also an effort of removing illegal renting facilities at Van Royal Gate border. In 2011, the Free State operator then approached the Select Committee, as I had mentioned earlier, and to kind of request the Select Committee to intervene so that a solution can be found. The Select Committee then requested the Department of Transport to intervene and for Free State to present an outcome by November 2011. Obviously, that was a short period of time because it was only in March 2012 when the DG, Mr. George Matadela, then set up a task team to start working on a task to identify a possible solution. The task team then agreed on an approach that they could use to establish a solution. And I remember very well that one of the bases was the fact that if the 2004 and 5 memorandum of agreement that was signed kind of brought something, that was a mechanism that could be regarded as something that represented the thinking of operator, because the task team did not have involvement of operator. So it was the provincial department, CBRTA, and National Department of Transport involved in the task team. So the voice of the operator was seen to be the memorandum of agreement, because it was an agreement that involved bus operators and taxi operators. And following the signing, there was apparently some significant peace that was observed. So that was used as a basis of our thinking. And out of that, the task team came up with 5 options. The first one, which was the special dispensation, I won't uncheck the options, but this can be looked at after the presentation if there's need to do that. The first one was called the special dispensation, the second one, stringent compliance, the third one being legislative mandate, fourth one being transition window, the fifth one was the special emergency measure. This was a development phase. We've also issued a report, a detailed report, that to it was an attachment called the development a discussion document of the model, on the model. That discussion document unpacked each of the 5 options, and the team then presented the discussion document to the Honorable MEC on the 21st of August, where at that meeting it was decided that we should indeed forget about the second and third option, which were stringent compliance and the legislative mandate, because those 2 options suggested that we should just stick on what the mandate of the CBRTA says, and we should have stringent compliance. So the team agreed on allowing for flexibility, and looking at the memorandum of agreement of 2004 and 5 meant that it was obvious that operators wouldn't agree to the stringent compliance and legislative mandate. So we decided to do away with those 2 options and to merge option 1, 4, and 5. And with the blessing of the MEC, the team proceeded to fuse the 3 options into a model, which was then presented to the Select Committee for the first time on the 18th of September 2012. That model was built and agreed upon among the team with the understanding that it can only be feasible subject to some rules being put on the ground. And those rules are, if like, there are clear rules and timelines developed to guide the implementation of the special dispensation and the transition and conformance to the CIQ OMAU, and that any laudable efforts also precipitate consultation with all stakeholders. That is the fact that the Ministry of Transport in the city would have to be consulted, and the National Department of Transport and relevant other relevant transport authorities affected. The Select Committee raised its concerns and gave made some recommendations to the team when the model was presented. And the first thing that the committee did was to sensitize the task team on the need to conduct thorough consultations. And the team was also instructed to put in place a mechanism or plan that would contain violence with effect from December 2012. And among other things, the team committed to develop an action plan that would ensure implementation of the module from December 2012 and to address legal compliance processes, that is to kind of align the provincial approach and the cross-border agency approaches. In December 2012, the team came to present an update to the Select Committee. Unfortunately, all that the team had was the consultative report, a stakeholder consultation report, and the presentation was completely silent about the plan that the team had committed to present to the committee, as well as the mechanism that the team was requested to develop that would contain violence by December. So the team had failed in those two aspects. And then the committee obviously expressed disappointment in the progress that was made thus far. However, the task team did work on the festive plan, and there is indeed evidence that that was done, and it was circulated to CBRTA inspectors as well as provincial officers. However, after that, there was very little progress that the task team had made in terms of activities in line with the plan that it had. And in May, the team came back to present to the Select Committee with very little that it had done between December and May. And then we all have memories of what happened on the 28th of May. I will not go through that. And I think that's when our DTG, Mr. Shavisa, then took over in terms of leading the team. Post May 28th, under the leadership of Mr. Shavisa, the task team members agreed that there's kind of a need to review the model, because the mandate then was that we should go and do, as a team, we should go and work on those gaps that were since raised in December. There was then suddenly a call to review the strategy. The mandate was that we should go and make progress on it. But when we got started, it was very obvious that even among the task team ourselves, suddenly there's change in thinking. And secondly, was that the model on its own was seen that it was obviously not going to be sustainable, for the mere fact that even operators then, although we had briefed them in October last year and they gave comments, I think as any other human being would do, you always have some afterthought after you had made a decision. Operators, especially working closely with cross-border operators, they literally issued their memorandum in writing to say they are totally against the model. Cross-border operators proposed and insisted that compliance should be applied, and Free State operators wanted the status quo to be maintained. And on the other hand, the Lesotho Transport Ministry, who had been briefed in November 2012, then sent their response only, I think it was May, or the first week of June or so, and expressed their concern that it is against what is in the bilateral agreement. So they were also not against. So those few reasons led to a need to review the model. And the following is the summary of the review process that was followed. The first meeting that we had under the leadership of Mr. Shavisa was to have a meeting that was chaired by the MEC in Bloemfontein. And this meeting was basically meant to set the tone and for the team to agree on an approach. It was indeed a successful meeting. We agreed on the way forward, and key to the agreement was the fact that we are going to proceed with the special dispensation model that was based on options 1, 4, and 5. And we also agreed that we cannot proceed and we will never make progress unless we have verified the existence of operators and the kind of operations that are taking place. I think one thing that one can highlight here is that that was the meeting where we acknowledged that key to the problem was the tendency of double dipping, where you find one operator doing cross-border operations and at the same time doing local operations. That person observed to be, you know, the very same vehicle one day is transporting passengers to Lesotho and maybe come weekend, the person is seen to be operating locally. So we agreed that was the source of the problem, but we needed to establish, to kind of come up with some scientific approach to say, where are the operators, who are they, and how are they operating? On the following day, then, a briefing for the operators themselves was held, and they were briefed by the Honorable MEC. The MEC invited both cross-border operators and provincial operators to air their frustrations, to raise what their challenges were, and he invited them to, in their own view, express what they think would be an amicable solution. And the MEC then directed on that day that the state of course should remain until a permanent solution is found. And they were told that upon and the end of that meeting did not necessarily mean that if they had more further thinking on the issue, they should not submit it. They were told that they are most welcome to forward those inputs to me as a secretariat, which happened indeed. On the 13th and 14th, the CAF team had a workshop. And the workshop was basically meant to look at the two meetings that were held, the meeting of the 6th and the 7th, and various inputs and discussions that we held around the table. And that was meant to weigh the proposals that were brought forward against the legal prescripts and to plot a way forward. That also was a successful meeting. However, our discussion on that day sort of brought some kind of the sensitivity to the issue of doing verification. On the 20th of June, a follow-up meeting was held between the MEC and the tasking meetings, and the idea of meeting on that day was to align our thinking before we went ahead and briefed operators on the plan, because on the 21st we're doing a follow-up meeting for the purpose of briefing operators as to what is the future plan and when they should expect to see things happening and how. That follow-up meeting was held on the 21st, and what they were briefed on was the fact that the model would be implemented subject to a verification process. And again, the MEC that day did talk to this whole issue of double dipping and the kind of challenges it's presenting. And he informed the operators that that is a practice that will definitely not be tolerated. Before even the verification was done, they were informed that post-verification, operators would have been found to be double dipping. They would have to change that practice, and if they are found to be double-dipping, they'll be given an option to choose whether they wish to be doing cross-border operations or provincial or local operations. The implementation plan as well was presented to the operators, that is activities, and we had estimated time frames, not specific dates, but to share with them what will happen in the short term, medium term, and long term. On the 2nd and 3rd of July, the CAF team had another workshop, and this time it was about looking at verification findings, because we had systems team that was supposed to do the verification, and that verification was to look into the OLAF, the CBRTF, as well as eNATIS. Those three databases had information on the operators, and verification was done using those three databases. However, the findings that were presented on the 2nd and 3rd were not agreed on by the team, simply because it was felt that the approach that was used had left out cross-border operations. The verification was done on the basis or in a way that made it to look like it's only provincial operations that should be taken into consideration. So when we ended the meeting, we had agreed that the verification or the system team should go ahead with verification whereby cross-border conditions would be taken into consideration. On the 12th of July, the system team was ready with an update, and the whole team accepted the findings, and we agreed that an update still should go further on, because there was a portion of operations that was left out. The results presented that day was silent to the fact that there are indeed other provincial operators that are encroaching into another market that they do not have a permit to be doing that. So what we, I'll give more details when we come to the findings themselves. And one other thing is that on the 12th of July, when we were deliberating on this issue, we needed to decide as to out of those various categories that were established by the system team to be existing and operating, what should happen when we build the model with respect to each of those categories identified. And one of the suggestions was that operators that should be considered or that should be allowed to operate on the route should be operators who were verified during the special legalization process and the legal campaign. I must point out that those are the kind of activities that we had been engaged in. There was also some electronic communications in between. However, one should allude to the fact that there could even have been more progress beyond what we are about to present now, because the actual progress, I think, would be shown through the next presentation slide. However, we could have done more, except that we could not take the process further owing to the fact that we couldn't have any meeting beyond the 12th of July. Meeting on the 1st of August had to be postponed because our leader, Mr. Kharisa, was not available. On the 5th of September, the meeting had to be postponed because the HOD from the Free State Department of Transport was not available. On the 18th of September, also, it was felt that we should postpone the meeting because this briefing was meant for the MEC, and the MEC at the time was not available. Following that, there were some violence activities that somehow erupted, and there was two emergency meetings that the MEC had called, which unfortunately led representation of the National Department of Transport and CBRTA task team members, because at that time, I remember the first meeting, most were out of the country, and at the second meeting they were also committed to other things. So this impeded progress that we're supposed to have made today, because we couldn't progress without having had a formal briefing with the MEC. We also could not brief the operators themselves. And without having briefed those, one could not, the team could not take that process forward. Now, having conducted the verification and having reviewed the model and revisited all the legal prescripts, we ended up with new thinking on this, on the possible solution. the team was nominated to go and update the model. That model that we presented last year, September, with the three options 1, 4, and 5, somehow it was agreed that it needs to be amended, owing to the reasons that I already shared, that operators were not happy with it, even task team members themselves, and whatever other tracks it had. Then a team was set that had to update that model, and the team managed to come up with a draft model. And their thinking was taken into consideration the verification process that was done, and the categories that were established were taken into consideration, and feasibility based on legal prescripts, and the various factors that were raised during engagement, especially input from operators, were taken into consideration. And key to note is the fact that this new model that one will be presenting now has not been presented to the Honorable MEC nor the operator. These are the proposals that provincial operators brought that were that formed a part of this new model that we're presenting. They were proposing that the operations at the mouth of the border should continue as is, that is, the status quo should remain as per their 2009 agreement that was set. And they said that all operations leaving for Lesotho should be dropped. That is all, all passengers leaving Lesotho to South Africa should be dropped at the border. And government should build ranking facilities at all border towns, and the fact that control of cross-border payment should be put in place. That is whereby applications are targeted to ensure that they don't duplicate existing payments and acknowledge the current operators. I think here it alludes to the fact that if there can be a control of cross-border control over cross-border payments, there won't be double dipping. In terms of feasibility and legal implications, when we look at this proposal and look at how feasible can this proposal be, that was weighed against the legal prescripts, and the first concern was that normalizing passenger transportation had to involve cross-border, that is the CBRT legislation, and acquiring the necessary authorization. And that means acquiring a permit. The proposed operations were contravening the prescript of legal instruments, that is the CBRT Act and the SATU Agreement and the Constitution itself. And the legality of public transportation facilities at the borders had to be determined, because currently the NLTA Act says something about this issue of having facilities at the border. And then the fact that operators flying their trade within 2 kilometer radius from the border should obtain an operating license and a cross-border permit as determined by the NLTA. On the other hand, cross-border operators had their own suggestions as well, and their suggestion is basically that they should be stringent compliance, and what they are voicing is that they are willing to reabsorb members, former members of the cross-border, which are members of Tabatshwe, Morningstar, and etc. If maybe I must give this a little light. What cross-border operators say about this issue is that they believe that the problem exists because they used to be like associations that also came to a split. There are, within an association, you find that there are members that felt that no, they are not going to go the cross-border payment route. They rather continue to operate using OLA. And when the other members decided to go to cross-border and acquire a permit, there's kind of suddenly, you know, tension that developed between them. So what they are saying, those that decided to opt for cross-border are saying that they are not, they never said they want to lock them out. They are more than welcome to work with those former members that opted for provincial permits rather than cross-border permits. All that they need to do is to convert and be cross-border operators. So that is the suggestion that came from cross-border operators. They said there's also a need to determine who is who in feedback. This suggestion, I just copied them as they submitted them. I just thought one shouldn't change their thinking whatsoever. And I think when they say who is who in feedback, they mean in terms of who intends to do what. And those that say we want to transport operators from RSA to Lesotho or from Lesotho to RSA should be allowed to do that, and they should affiliate to the cross-border association. And same, again, should happen in terms of determining the number of members in FITA that are active and interested in doing cross-border operations. In terms of feasibility and what are the legal prescripts saying, that for the, what they are saying to happen is a matter of operators willing to conduct cross-border operations to acquire permits and or rather to convert. And also to say operators flying their trade within the 2 meter radius from the border should also acquire within the 2 kilometer radius would also have to acquire permits. And now coming to the findings of the verification process, these very findings were also considered in the review process and also informed the new model that is to be proposed. The first category that was confirmed to exist by the verification or system team is that there are indeed operators that are double dipping. And these operators are doing both intra and inter-provincial operations as well as cross-border operations. And this practice contravenes both the NLTA and the CBRT Act. And that verification process had indicated that about 31 vehicles were identified during that research. The second category comprises of leased vehicles, and this category comprises that those operators who have cross-border permits but having vehicles that are not registered in their names. Meaning that they are leasing the vehicles from other people, and this contravenes the NLTA and the RAF Act. However, you find that cross-border operators, on the other hand, are not necessarily subjected at all to the NLTA requirements. When operators approach cross-border agency for payments, what is looked into is whether that operator would be using that vehicle solely for cross-border operations. That vehicle, that operator is not allowed to use his vehicle for any other operation. Not necessarily denied to do inter or intra-provincial operations. What the agency had been looking at was a vehicle not used for other operations, rather than the operator engaging in other operations as well. And this is because the CBRT Act is not subservient to the NLTA, whilst both are national pieces of legislation and they both have clearly defined mandates. And in terms of the NLTA, The operator should have the permit in his or her own name, and the permit should have the details of the vehicle registered in the names of the owner, and the vehicle should have a certificate of fitness. So it's only cross-border that was agreeing to leasing of vehicles. And a total of 15 vehicles were identified to have been in this category. Category 3 was a shared registration. This is a situation where you find there's an operator who has more than one cross-border permit on the same vehicle. And this is a tendency that surfaced because currently on the Lesotho route, cross-border had since not been issuing permanent permits, but temporary like 14-day permits, owing to the kind of challenge that has been in existence since. And operators then would find themselves going back to uplift a permit after 14 days, and eventually on the record it looks like there's a vehicle that has got more than one permit, especially if that vehicle was also leased, and at one time it was leased to one operator, and the next time it was then leased to another operator. This is an area that was seen to be very problematic and creating confusion. As I already said, the permits were issued for 14 days, one after another, and really not concurrently. And whereas in terms of Section 54, Article 5 of the National Land Transport Act 5 of 2009, applications for permit or licenses must be made on the basis of one application per vehicle. But in terms of this spreadsheet, the CBRTA is issuing permits in contravention of the National Land Transport Act. I've already alluded to the differences of the Act, and maybe to add to this, I'll say that the agency has seen, since after the discussions that we had, especially on the 12th of July, to seek legal opinion in terms of this kind of differences between the National Land Transport Act and the CBRTA Act for us to get clarification. And because this created a problem, I think I'll also share when it comes to the model itself. So with effect from the 1st of August, the CBRTA has since stopped from issuing temporary permits that are for his vehicle. We also, because it was not only creating a problem on this route, we just then picked up that it is a problem that exists in general. A total of 8 vehicles were identified through the verification process. Then the fourth category is those that we term the cross-border operator, owing to the fact that this is a category of operators that are doing nothing else but cross-border operators, and they hold cross-border permits only and not a provincial permit. And they were not listed on the inter or intra-provincial operation. The vehicles, however, were not picked up on the e-netting system, which appeared to be quite strange as well, because the CBRTA, on the other hand, does not issue any vehicle a permit unless it is in the e-netting system. The cross-border operations also is not subjected to the NCCC process and was not covered in this scope. I think the legal experts will unpack these issues further later on. A total of 27 vehicles were identified to fall under this category. The next two categories are the categories which, when we met on the 12th of July, were not identified. And these are the two categories that, when the systems team proceeded further to do their work, they established these two groups. That also there's an inter and intra-provincial, there are inter and intra-provincial operators that currently breach the 2 kilometer radius as per the National Land Traffic Transport Act and the CBRT Act. They mix both local and cross-border passengers in one vehicle which violates the provision of the NLTA and the CBRTS. And the number of operators in this category is yet to be determined. The system team has not given a feedback as to how many are falling in this category, but yet it has been confirmed that this category does exist. I wouldn't say it's double dipping. I think there's a thin line between that first category of people, of operators that are doing double dipping and this one. The last one is domestic permits with unauthorized destinations to border towns. And these are operators with cross-border permits transporting passengers to Lesotho but dropping them off at border towns. And this category is also in possession of the domestic permit. So same as category number five, they have a thin line between themselves and those that are doing double dipping. Now, coming to the new proposal, having looked at the legal prescripts, the suggestions coming from provincial operators and cross-border operators, as well as the six categories that were identified, the model then was revised. Based on the three options that were initially considered and the legal prescripts at hand, a mode of operation was then considered for each of the categories that currently exist. When it comes to category one, that is those that have dual authority and doing a kind of double dipping at the moment, it was suggested that a solution to this would be to have those operators to choose which operation they need to do with one vehicle. And this also links with what the operators themselves were told on at the meeting of the on the 7th of June in Bloemfontein. Operators would need to acquire an additional vehicle for the second operation. That is if they choose to do both operations. And this is in line with the CBRTS, that if you want to do cross-border, you cannot use the same vehicle to transport people inland and also across the border. However, you need to get a second vehicle. And then operators would be allowed 90 days starting from the date of the general meeting with the operators to provide another vehicle. Integrating systems to curb against double dipping using one vehicle would have to be put in place. And it said that there are some of the complaints lodged with the these are some of the complaints that were lodged with the NCOP, and that furthermore operators must remain in their primary provincial operations. The second category being the leased vehicles, this was agreed on the 12th and it was effected from the 10th of August by the CBRTA. That CBRTA is supposed to stop issuing temporary permits to operators who do not have vehicles registered in their name. This is already put in place and is happening currently. And that once the permits had expired, the fact that at that time, operators from the 1st of August, there are operators that had a permit at that time. The agreement was that when those temporary permits expired, the CBRTA would not reissue if the vehicle is leased. The operator would have to be given an opportunity to go and acquire a vehicle, not to come with a leased vehicle. So that is already in practice. Third category, vehicle carrying more than one cross-border permit. This problem was also created because of using leased vehicles, and by sorting out category two, automatically category three would be resolved. The fourth category which is cross-border operators with only who only have a cross-border permit. The proposal is that the operators should conduct cross-border. Operators should conduct cross-border operations from point A to point B without hindrance, and that the system team is to further verify this category. Why we say so is that, and on the 12th of July, it was agreed that, not necessarily agreed, there was concern that some of those operators that have cross-border permit only were not part of the special legalization, were not part of that process. Yet, however, they do have, they have since approached cross-border for permits and they acquired the permits and they are regarded to be cross-border operators at the moment. There was concern that if they were not part of that process, those operators should need to be further verified. However, we did not reach a conclusion with regards to this. I must say there were different sentiments at the meeting about this category. One group feeling that they are legit operators because they have complied with the legislation, which is the CBRT Act, and they could not be stopped. So then we concluded by saying that the systems team must just go and do further research on this category. Category 5 being inter and intra-provincial operators. CBRTA is to amend regulations and legislate for a differentiated tariff structure to accommodate this category. And that all concerned operators would have to apply for a cross-border permit.
I just wanted to know whether it's 5 or 6, because on 5 you have raised domestic operators with authorized, which are authorized, and then you said 5 again. I want to check whether it's 5 or 6 that one.
Oh, now I'm with inter and intra-provincial category 5.
Yeah. Category 5.
Yeah. So, okay, I started with 4 being cross-border permit holders only, and then now category 5 is inter and intra-provincial operators.
And what is proposed here is that the CBRTA has to amend regulations and to legislate for a differentiated tariff structure to accommodate this category, and that all concerned operators have to apply for a cross-border permit. I will need a bit of assistance because I'm not like on the ground, but like as I said earlier, this category is not necessarily regarded to be double dipping per se. There's just a thin line. I think it's in terms of the route they follow and the way they do it. And that would also, in a way, also touch on category 6. However, there's that insert in a bold yellow there, which in a way differs, the thinking differs with the first two bullets that I just presented. The thinking, it shows that there are two approaches to this that is yet to be agreed on. The other way of looking at it was that the inter and provincial operations are not intended for cross-border operations, and they are aimed at transporting commuters within the province, including those residing at border towns. And when I read this, my understanding is that they somehow cannot avoid touching on the border towns. And I think maybe that's why there needs to be a need to amend regulations and legislate for a differentiated tariff. And I think the tariff refers to the fee of acquiring a cross-border permit. The sixth category is a domestic permit with unauthorized destination at border town. That what should apply here is that operators need to know that there can't be any dropping or picking up at controlled areas. That is, that 2 kilometer radius may have to be strictly observed. and then operators then would have to choose which operation they would like to conduct, just as in category one where double dipping is happening. As I had mentioned, there was an implementation plan that was put together and presented to operators on the 21st of June. The implementation plan has got quite a number of tasks as indicated in the report that I was submitted to the select committee. This slide only captured four of those tasks. The rest of the tasks are subject to progress, especially an agreement reached about the new model as or the new thinking as I had presented now. And there was progress made with respect to three of these tasks. The first one was review of the special dispensation model and fusion of those options. This was successfully done. The task team did conduct a review and hence the new model was proposed, and there's an annexure that was also submitted, annexure N, which gives details of the new proposal. A verification and authentication of the operating licenses and permits was also done, and there's a report in terms of deliberations that were held the minutes of the 12th of July, and adding to that is a document that is gives a narrative of how the verification was done. We however need to update that report because the report does not talk to the additional two categories. However, that report will also be available to the members. An indication of joint ventures and site visits to taxi ranks and associations. This is a task that is pending approval of the new model. Because, honorable members, you will understand as well that if we haven't agreed or operators have not bought into this model, it really does not help us at all to go out to the ranks and wherever to try and institutionalize them, whereas they have not bought into the system that is supposed to be put in place. So until this proposed model has been presented to them and they buy into it, that task of identifying joint ventures and doing site visits may not be a fruitful exercise. However, in terms of monitoring cross-border passenger operations, we had depended on reports that we get from managers on the ground. And in terms of cross-border operations, we did receive a report from our regional manager in terms of some activities that were happening, some violent activities, and I think the next slide will give more details to that. The next slide talks to the current challenges that are currently taking place despite all these efforts that have been put, not just post the 28th of May, but dating back to since the time when this problem has started. However, between June and now, when we've been engaging, and especially engaging even operators themselves, there are some remarkable incidences that have been recorded. In August, there was impounding of vehicles based on Section 75 of the NLTA, whereby it was alleged that there are cross-border operators that were expected to have both operators, provincial operator license, as well as a cross-border permit. A case was registered at Forestburg Court, and a court decision was taken, whereby those operators were found not guilty of any offense and their impounded vehicles were released. In September, violence erupted, whereby on the 22nd, a vehicle, a Gauteng registered vehicle, was touched, and another vehicle was stoned or smashed, and both cases were reported. And this is at the moment, both the cases have been reported to the police. On the 24th, then provincial operators and inspectors and the SAPS officers at Maseru, Sixbeck and Policebeck were then deployed to go and contain the violence. And they also had a mandate to stop any passenger vehicles from crossing the RSA borders with passengers. This is a long one, I'll just read it out. That alludes to the fact that the MEC entrusted with police, roads and transport, after realizing the violence which ensued on September 22nd, 2013, tried to restore peace by directing that all operators drop and pick at the mouth of the border. Before this decision could be taken, the MEC attempted to consult all relevant primary stakeholders such as the National Department and CBRTA, but to no avail. To the contrary, the CBRTA issued a supporting affidavit in favor of RSA Lesotho Corridor operators against the principled agreement to the joint MEC meeting. As I indicated, both the agency and the National Department were not represented at the said meeting. However, I'm not going to elaborate further on the comments. I'll then proceed to brief on October incidences. In October, the cross-border operators reported the matter to High Court in Bloemfontein to challenge the legality of the decision to shut down the cross-border operation. And the High Court ruling, as the case number given, declared the decision by the MEC to be unlawful and invalid. The ruling also prevented the traffic officials in the Free State from preventing cross-border operators from crossing the border between RSA and Lesotho. And following the High Court ruling, that is after that ruling was passed in High Court, there was yet another incident where a minibus, a Tata, with a registration, a Gauteng registration, was attacked by Sixbeck operators on the 6th of October, whilst it was conveying passengers from the city to RSA through the Sixbeck border. A case of malicious damage was since registered at Sixbeck SAPS, and with the number given there. The MEC, in an attempt to restore and maintain peace and stability, sustained the law enforcement presence in the border towns. The third incident of October 6, 2013, took place far and out of sight of the law enforcement agency. Honorable members, this brings us to the end of the presentation with the following recommendation: that given the effort that has gone into this matter dating way back with no desirable outcome to date, the team wishes to recommend that the Select Committee considers engaging a neutral body to investigate on this matter. An example of that was thought of like could be Hawks, and you know, there are, I believe, various investigation institutions in the country, but basically this is what the recommendation is all about. especially owing to the fact that the tendencies are now getting to be criminal. It's not just violence. This is not the first time that some kind of research was done. It was done in the past. A lot of taxpayers' money being used. So it is time for that kind of intervention. And it was seen that another element that will be of assistance in this matter is to detach both the CBRTA and the Free State from the process of identifying a solution. And because the different tones and the different approach to this matter is very loud and very visible. So that is the recommendation. I thank you.
I don't laugh. Yeah, you see, honourable members, let me give this opportunity maybe to the task team. Wait, honourable members. Let me give this opportunity to the task team. Or to, if there is any addition, before I bring it back to you, as members, so that we can start and interact with the report. Any addition from the task team? Chief, are you with us?
I'm very much with you.
Okay. The platform is yours.
Honorable Chair, I'm trying to talk to my colleague off record here. That I'm prepared to talk on record of the Select Committee. I want him to switch off his recording device. Kindly, please.
Okay. This is Baba Neil. You see, this is in this gutter. Wait, members. I'll give an opportunity. This thing, it would say something to you. We're going to gain something out of this exercise.
Yeah.
Nina, don't panic. Take it cool. You'll have your chance. The chance is yours. Leave them.
You want to check?
No, before you check, don't preempt it. You'll have an opportunity.
No. On a recording device. You want to check on a recording device?
I was coming to that one. Okay. Yes, I was coming. You see what, Chief, I want you to appeal to us, but before that, I wanted to acknowledge the presence of, I think it's one taxi association who came later. I don't know whether it's a taxi, yes, but nevertheless, I'd like to give them this opportunity to introduce themselves, and then I'll give it to you and then start, because they never gave this opportunity. May please introduce ourselves so that we, on records, we put our records straight, that we know exactly who was here and who was not here. Abu Baba, let them introduce themselves. I'll bring it to you again in the middle. Yes.
Stefan Salami, she's been Texas Association Chairman.
Honorable members, L.E. Mukwena, Deputy Chairperson of Madibo Forum.
Bonitatelebon Medumela, Deputy Lapeti Seaba, Tangatani, Mudula Studio Amanyans in Texas Association, Calibu.
I think all of us, we have to choose ourselves. There is a gentleman in the other side, yes, yes.
Calibu, Chair of Ara Machivani. Transport Association webinar, Deputy Secretary Yamadibu Ofora.
Kimi Kaila Mzakishan, Chairperson Yamadibu Ofora.
Okay. You see, honorable members and the trust team, I don't know how to put it because there was an appeal from the other side. No, wait first before I request it.
Yes.
Okay. Menwama, I don't know whether you are aware, is what he has been asked.
Yeah.
I'll give you an opportunity to. You see, we need to take it cool. Number one, I want you to clarify for the test team as well here. We didn't say that it's a closed session. It might happen that people from media are here, and also PMG is here. But nevertheless, if you feel strongly, myself, for my part, is to consult with my colleagues. Because this forum where you are serving now is not me alone. I'm just a chairperson. We work as a team. To consult if you wanted to raise something which you feel that is sensitive, indicate to us so that I can consult with them.
I did not say that we wanted to bring this to the attention of the committee. I was talking to my colleague off the record to say it's not correct that he's using a recording device without necessarily having requested permission from the committee or the chair. You see, I'm fully aware that there's an assortment of stakeholders in here, in the transport sector, including the media. But at the heart of my request to him hinges on the way how the task team relates. And it's on the basis of trust. That's why I was talking to him without necessarily raising an objection. That I would not want them to have that kind of record. If they want the record, they can ask for a transcript or even the record of the select committee, of which it's legally entrusted to keep the records of the deliberations here. But anything outside that can even be distorted to many other stakeholders outside there who happen to be the taxi operators. And the situation that we are dealing with, it's not only delicate but extremely sensitive, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Right. Nevertheless, Honorable Members, let us come back. Let us focus on what we're supposed to get from them. I want you to give you an opportunity, any addition before I give it to members. Any addition? If there's none, then we can continue.
No. There's an addition.
There is an addition.
On the presentation.
Yes, from your side. Any addition in the presentation?
Yes.
You know, let me put it like this. Ubaba Shabangani earlier on indicates about this presentation, and if there is an addition on what they presented, I'm subject for correction, that there will be addition. But that's why I'm giving an opportunity to add if there is any addition, so that we can continue and allow the members to start to ask questions. Any addition?
Honorable Chair, I'll subject myself to your guidance and leadership, whether it's addition or it's debate, because I just want to bring to the attention of the committee that you see our presentation. It's not a uniform presentation, it's a new presentation which is an assortment of different colors. As a matter of fact, it's a debate in the presentation which is being presented. If you allow me, Honorable Chair, to continue, I can elaborate to that.
Okay, Chair.
All right. need your guidance in this regard, and because let me highlight something. You know, to all of us as we are here, some of the people, they just took us just for chicken and the vouchers, and can I put it in simple as it is. They took us granted when we started to go to Free State, though they never realized that, that this thing is so serious. And in some of your recommendations, it's upon us when we reach the summary, how do we summarize it? And I don't know, but minute, I remember the days when we were appealing in Free State that we requested elderly people as our parents that please, they mustn't fight. We don't want to lose anybody. We need you all here. But procedurally, I'm just advertising that please be serious about this. Before I give it to Baba Kombela, and then I'll be guided. The process itself will guide me with how to go about, because members of the opportunity still coming. Baba Kombela.
No, thank you, Chair. Thank you, another member. No, Chair, I was saying to the team that is with me, I think they must make an input there, but the observation that honourable members are aware of it. You see, where the lady presented very well, and there are paragraphs that are written in here. She has said in at some stage that we need to have met and realigned this discussion. And that has never happened. But we don't want to abort this process. Because I can tell you, we will abort this process and there's going to be problems there. Because I think we are not moving in tandem with cross-border on the seriousness of this matter. Because even by yesterday, I said the team must come and meet with cross-border. We must present to Parliament, to the Select Committee, one report. And that has not happened. And this report that is presented here is a report that cross-border think it is right to us. And then I do not think that is a fair thing. But however, I'm saying, let us accept this report and let us make an input there. But cross-border must never take an advantage and think that anything that they will do, they will go to court. It is not going to happen. And Chair, when there is violence in the Free State, there is a loss of life. When the honourable member Buisero called me, and I spoke to the minister, for us to stop the loss of life is to stop the operations there. And if cross-border goes and cited with other people in court, I don't know what kind of an animal is that one. But however, we are prepared to accept this report, and we must make our own inputs. And but these two reports are two reports that were never synchronized, that were never discussed.
Okay. The man, Babu Jacobs, no Mama Uru Temba, Babu Lenza, and Honorable Hunovat, Mama Picha, all members which are here. This thing is, I think, is very advantageous for us to take note, because we didn't start that yet from our side. That's why I was saying, don't panic. Our time is coming, our chance is coming. Only just to illustrate something from their side.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member of the Select Committee. Thank you, Honorable MEC and colleagues. I want to thank our slides, who have done extremely well out of so much of difficulty in the discussion that we had since we started in the 2018. Chairperson, I personally would not like us to come in and debate and argue here. I don't want it. We argued on the 28th of May, and this is an attempt to move forward. It's not going to be easy. This thing started way back in 2004, 2005. Cannot be solved within 2 months. Never. It's a work in progress. So I will not, from whoever it comes, to engage head on on the matter. We must find a way to resolve the problem moving forward.
Okay.
I would therefore say, I did open like this in my opening statement, Chairperson.
when you see the report which was presented to you, you will see different coloring of the report. Some of it will be conflicting, some of it in line. For this reason, therefore, I would want to go back to what I said in my opening statement. I want to concur with my MEC convener in saying there was no synchronization and alignment before we came here. But in an attempt not to ignore the input from members of the committee, this is the report we are fighting today. But I want us to go beyond the coloring and the input of the report. Let us look at the milestones that we have achieved since 28 May 2013. That is where I would like us to look at.
Let's do this now. Honourable members, I wanted to request you to do for me a favor. This meeting, I think it won't be long. It can be short, but it will depend on you because I can't just cut you. But I wanted to give you this opportunity. As I indicated earlier on, I use a term that some people, they take us for granted, and I mean it. Sometimes they see the numbers that, this is a small number. Wabu Jacob, one day phoned me, he was crying, he was crying. To me, I was not happy. Said, Pat, where are you? I said, no, man. I said this. He said, people are dying in Free State. I said, I'm on study leave. He said, people are dying. Not to say that I was ignoring the committee calls, not for the first time. And to him, I know it's very difficult sometimes. He can't sleep. I even received a message one day about Mugwela Otish Mdana. Very painful message, of which I requested to interpret it in English because it's a teenager. I felt as if I'm a writing for state. But therefore, nevertheless, I don't want to preempt it now. Honourable members, it's up to us how to take this matter forward. But allow me to do it, to give each and everyone a chance to raise what you wanted to raise, and then to allow me to summarize it so that we chat away forward. Because itself, it's exposed something. Mm. Let me start from the other side. Honourable Member Peter, coming from to Honourable Member Hunevald, Honourable Member Mlenzane, Ubabu Jacobs, Umama Uthembu. But Mama Peter and all members, you see, from our side, let us not allow to be deviated. The Constitution of South Africa do allow us to have and maybe to implement a structure which is going to make sure that we do our oversight. Officially done that in terms of our line function. So let us not allow to deviate it. Let's go to the facts. Thank you. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you are going through the report, I could realize that it's like the consultation which were done is not really include all taxi operators. If I'm not correct, to correct me and explain to me so that I understand. Because I'm not a transporter, I'm not a taxi operator. Secondly, my question is, you made mention of different categories. Now, my question is there any person, either from the administrative or political component, who owns a taxi within those categories? List, what, all those things you have, categories you have mentioned. Because if, according to my understanding, if there are people I'd like you to indicate to me if there are any, because we might spend years and years because officials who are dealing with this business, either from the police or from the municipality, wherever, owns this thing, and they have that power, and people respect them, and the things are not done correctly, so the processes will never be done correctly, because there are people who have influence. I'll pause there. Thank you.
Honourable members, before you pass, ma'am, you see, I wanted to suggest that we go for one round and summarize this matter once and for all. Therefore, I'll give you an ample time that if you do have something, raise it. If you do have something, raise it, ma'am. Because you won't get a second chance.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. The other thing that is mind-boggling is this, that a report was given, and now the Honourable here, Sir here, says it's like the report does not speak to each other. We have two reports, the way I understood it. And how do we then measure progress made when we have two different reports, because they never said and come up with a consolidated report.
Thank you, Honourable Macronewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a couple of questions. In the first place, when the acting DG started with his open remarks, I was very happy and I thought, well, at least we've got a resolution and he's on top of everything what is going on at the borders. But if we listen to the presentation at the end of the day and what happened in the department, it is not good for your image to what happened here in this meeting also this morning. I think if there's no trust in your department, nothing will happen in the right way. And that is exactly, you show up this morning in front of us all, what happened in your department. There's no trust, and therefore a lot of things we listened to this morning is not in place. And I think you must go back and do your homework and come back to us and give us a decent report. And where each and everyone is involved in the whole situation. What happened here, and if I'm listening to you, and you must answer, all the stakeholders was not involved in this discussion of this whole document you put in front of us. I want to know, and you must just refresh our mind, how big is the task team? How many people is there? Who is the stakeholders? Are all the stakeholders involved in the discussions? And I also want to know, and the Honourable MEC also mentioned it, and that is, what about the two countries? Two countries is involved. Is it a one-sided thing, or is it from both sides? Do all the stakeholders from both sides, when do you have these meetings with the other country, and what is the decisions taken on that meetings? We can't take a decision in South Africa for other countries. They must make their inputs and we must sit together and we must come together and make a decision all over. And I've got a very strong feeling in this presentation this morning that does not happen. Because, I will jump here to my question, why is the new model not presented to the MEC? And that is on page 17. And what about all the other stakeholders? If you're not, if the MEC is not involved in the whole situation, what about the other stakeholders? So that is a one-sided thing, and that is not the way to do it in a democratic South Africa. You said also at the stage the information you have from the borders. Now, if you said the information you have, that means to me you were not there. You are not on the spot to see what is going on there. You put your things on paper regarding the information you've got from someone or some organization or something. I'm very worried about that. Why did the activities from the task team come to a standstill in January to April 2012, and that is, or in 2013, and that is on page 11.
there were a lot of meetings and discussions taking place where all stakeholders present at the meeting. What I'm asking here is, was all the stakeholders presenting their organization on that meeting? And if not, why not? And that is on page 16. Why is the new, all right, that I already asked about the MEC, the new model, operating with, I want more clarification here, is you talking about operation within 2 kilometers from the border. Now, what I have in my mind is you offload people at the border and then they must walk 2 kilometers to a distance and then they must get the new taxi there or the other taxi. How can you do that? What about all the luggage and the, I said that is how I see it as a person who's not knowing what is going on there. What is the reason for using 2 vehicles in category 1? The same operator, but if they get at the border, the people must offload it, get on across the border in another taxi of the same company or the same person, vehicle. I do not understand. That's not making sense to me. Maybe you can justify some more clarification. Thank you.
Honourable Member Mlenzane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, CC, for the presentation. Chairperson, I concur with you that perhaps we should see a way that we don't exhaust ourselves much on this. We should focus on what next. Let me start by concurring, perhaps, in a form of a question, Honorable Honorable. On the, when was our last meeting? 28th of May. We had an observation that we made. Erosion, I mean it. That I wouldn't say very little. I would say nothing. Was in a form of an illustration that an effort has been made to link up with the structures outside the country in a way of trying to resolve this. This is what we made. Even today, nothing which says in your presentation you had a meeting with the Lesotho government around this. And what is it that they raised? So I'm just, you know, echoing that. There's nothing which says perhaps as a way of mitigating the sin. Having assessed the sensitivity of the matter outside the legal parameters, there was a way of facilitating. Perhaps a better English word would be harmony. Because using harmony, because we are able to harmonize issues without necessarily being legalistic to the core. And that is what we as the select committee said such as that. Hence, our acceptance of the magic of the 3 options, 1, 4, and 5, because you're actually looking into that.
I have a question
on the ownership of the presentation, but I don't have now to ask that because it is clear. It is clear that this presentation that has been given to us is not a collective kind of presentation. It is clear that the editions that highlighted are not owned up.
You could listen, Chair, that the presenter was ready.
She would argue on some point, particularly the highlighted one. She would engage as she was presenting, unlike the others, where she would flow.
With the yellow ones, she just couldn't leave them unattended. Chair, there is a lot of contradicting things. When I looked at slide 17, I asked myself, does this suggest that this perhaps is just like a trap?
When it was alluded to the MEC, the member.
Let me not say the member of the Executive Council. Let me say the member of government in the first state. It is not on board on the presentation brought to us, which means the government of the province of the Eastern Cape. I mean, sorry, of the first state. Sorry. I'm from the Eastern Cape. The government of the province of the first state is not on board of what we have come to present to us here. Now I'm checking now on the weight and legitimacy of the presentation. If one can now call the Premier and check, the Premier would say, no, the MEC has not yet pressed me. Mm-hmm. And the MEC would say, also myself, Premier, I was not abreast of issues. I was not told. I met this thing in the meeting. Is it not frustrating? If you go to, I've noted this slide. Your slide 25 suggests
exactly what I'm saying.
That your third bullet in category 5, the inter and interprovincial operators,
is exactly what I'm talking about.
That bullet 4.3 is contradicting
bullet 1 and 2.
The same with slide 28. I'm just mentioning this chapter on the court table. If you look at the third bullet there, where the presenter was even tired before she started reading because the thing was too long and boring perhaps. And if you look at that statement, you go immediately below, you would find that this now has gone to a stage of a legal battle between the government of the province of the Free State and CBR. And a government agency, CBRTA is a government agency. A board appointed by us here in Parliament. Now, in a battlefield with the government of the province of the Free State. I'm just noting this, Chair. And lastly,
Bullet 2. With Bullet 2, my question would then be directed to CBRTA, because there is no way that you can tell the government of the province of the state to switch off their ears and close their eyes and not react to issues related to transport as per their constitutional mandate. So that cuts them out. But then, does that suggest that CBRTA is saying to this committee, which is a committee of parliament, that parliament should review CBRTA, because CBRTA is now unable to deal with the objectives that they are meant to deal with. So that, remember, Chairperson, we were here in this boardroom when we were discussing that is it correct for Parliament to overload CBRTA with other functions because there was this challenge. Now today they come to say to us they are incapacitated, they do not have ability to deal with the objectives set for them, and now we should go see for another neutral body, another agency outside them because they are fake. Is this that they are telling us? It's a pity, Chair, you were saying we should just deal with this thing just like once, but one would like to see a situation where, remember, this thing was brought to us as politicians. We would want to see a situation where all these parties who seem to be now having vested interest in this view telling us, and none of them is saying this, Chairperson, CBRTA is taking government to court, articulating our own pieces of legislation. At no stage have they said this particular piece of legislation is worth amendment because it's making things difficult for us to implement what you as politicians want us to do. But instead, you are abusing. You know that when we get into government, 1994, it's like these people who would Jefferson speak on the... No, I'm finished.
Yes, you said in conclusion, not...
Yeah, I'm finished. You said you should speak just at once.
But you said in conclusion.
Okay. I'm saying, Chair, it is just like those people who would abuse the central clause because they knew that that was a negotiated settlement. Now when we say, now we are ready to change and implement what is correct with the South African, they will say, but no, they are this. This is the same thing which is happening here. We will see the people of the First State dying because of pieces of legislation and agreement which were then for a particular arrangement and negotiated settlement, but now you have people who are so rigid, even more than us. Hence, Chair, I want to appeal once more, particularly to the DDG. That DDG means the only way out here would be for the department to come say to us as Parliament, and being Parliament in both the Select Committee and the Portfolio Committee, say to us, here are the glitches in your legislation. If you can amend 1, 2, 3, come to us with that, and then we, as Parliament, will see how best to sort out that. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honourable members, but once you say said, in conclusion, you conclude. You can't speak more than 30 minutes after in conclusion.
It can be a paragraph.
No, it can't be. Right, honourable member Jacobs, platform is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot for me to say. Maybe because I'm from the. You know, it's like a counselor. When there are problems, people don't just take taxi cars to your home. They just walk to your home. So even in the Free State, I just walk to my home. And present what they want to present to me as their public representative. As we have heard, I've contacted the chairperson, I've contacted the MEC because of what I heard, which is just next door to me. Honorable, to take this thing further, when we started with this issue of cross-border, the CBRTA told us there is no need that we can amend the legislation. Some of the problems that can be solved, they can be solved outside the legislation. But as you see now, you see there is a need that the legislation must be changed. Because there is no synergy between the Act, National Department Act, as well as the CBRTA. Each it is having its own mandate. Maybe I'm just disappointed with the report. I'll start with something with the conclusion and go to the introduction. So I would have loved your proposal or in your model to come up with short-term solutions to the problem. For instance, now there are incidents that are happening in that area, and you are not responding to that. In this model, you are not responding to that. And secondly, we should have medium solution as well as long-term solution. Long-term solution is for legislation. If we have to change legislation, that should have come from your report, but it is not there. Let me start now, my introduction. Firstly, I don't know, when we started here, some of the stakeholders are not here, the taxi association. I'm just worried because from the introduction that we're given, I did not hear the representation of the cross-border Lesotho association. Seemingly it's not here. And the last time it was here. And I think it is important that every stakeholder should have been here so that we can't do this without them. They should be part of here and also understand our own thinking. But unfortunately, they are not here. Secondly, on the issue of recording, I think it was unethical. For an official to come and record what we are saying in this house. Because as we are speaking, these are records. It is recording us. What else do you want? Where do you want to take that information to? Or do you want to take it to court? Because as it has been done, CBR has defended other stakeholders. As a government entity, it has defended other stakeholders. Instead of assisting the government, they are taking information. That's why those people were able to win that case, because they were assisted by the CBRTA. And I just want to get who gave the authority. Who gave the authority, the CBRTA, that they must give the supplementing evidence. Because it's quite clear something that they can't do. And the other one, on the issue of the report, Chair, I would have laughed because it was quite clear the information that we received here, it was not synchronized. Maybe we should have given other people to give also, to add to what was said. And also, I would like to agree with Honorable Lenzan to say, in those paragraphs that were in yellow, the presenter was also debating. I was even saying to myself, the way she was presenting, she was defending the CBRTA. So I don't think it's correct if you are a presenter which involves many stakeholders, just defend one stakeholder, whereas we have many stakeholders who were involved in the drafting of that report. Chair, I thought deeply on this issue, and I just wanted to know, well, do we have a national taxi association which controls this movement of operators? I don't know, do we have that national authority? Because what I'm thinking, there must be affiliates from different provinces which affiliate to that national body. If we don't have that national body, we are still going to have this kind of a problem. Because we should be having that national body with affiliates. We should take mandates from affiliates. But if we don't have that, it's going to cause a problem for us. And also that I wanted to know whether the CBRTA, does it have the number of passengers, the movement of passengers per month, how many are they, that moves from Lesotho to Johannesburg and vice versa. Because that will help us to know how many taxi operators should operate in that area. Because if there are too many, there will be problems. So we need to limit the number of operators who are operating from there. So, but we'll only know if we know the passengers per month who are moving from the Lesotho to Johannesburg or from Johannesburg to the Lesotho. That would help us in trying to issue out the licenses, the permits. But, Chair, in these categories, as I analyze them, I have realized that there's something wrong in CBRTA. I think there are a lot of problems in the CBRTA. In the manner they have issued those permits, it shows there are problems. They are hired, whatnot. Who's taking control of that? So it just shows, I'm not so sure. Also, we need to review that CBRTA or the people who are working in that CBRTA. Honestly, some of the problems that we are having, they are the cause. And also, I just want to check, who issues the things? Do we have a board? Or it is solely in the hands of the CBRTA? Because I think also, that board, it should also have stakeholders. So that when you sit down to decide who gets the permit, the people should be there and should be in agreement. And also, I was also saying, that's why I said, do we have a national body and affiliates? Because if somebody applies from the Free State, it should come as a recommendation from the association from the Free State to say, we agree to give this person the permit that he can wear. If it comes from Gauteng, the association in Gauteng must also make a recommendation. But if we don't have that, this is the problem that we are going to have. Because there is no buy-in. Somebody up there just gives. And also, these people who are issuing permits, are they only in Gauteng? Do they involve other provinces which are involved in this thing? So if they are just people from Gauteng, I think it's a problem. Because their focus will only give people from Gauteng the permits and ignore other provinces. So I think these are some of the issues that I wanted to raise in trying to find solution to this. But in conclusion, what I was going to say.
You must conclude.
Yes, I'm concluding. I'm concluding. We need to have a solution before the festive season. That's what we said last time. That's what we said. We said we need to have a plan to cover for festive season. But it never came. CBRTA had to put its own plan and implement its own plan before that plan came to us. But what I'm saying now, as we move forward, we need to have a plan. As I said, we need to have short-term, medium, and long-term. Because we are having problems now on the border. I just want to check again. Are the people still moving to Lesotho? Or gates have been closed? People are no longer moving. Because that's another issue that we need to take care of. Because here we are dealing with the lives of the people. I think that should be clear. And we should put greediness aside. Because we are dealing with the lives of the people. Those people, they are not bags of millions. They are not bags of sugar. It's a living human being who wants to reach their destination. But because of the infighting, we are putting their lives at risk. Because we don't have the correct system or somebody taking an advantage. But this issue of issuing the permits, it's another sore point. Because I think there, Chocho Yasinisamis, on this issue, because you can't just issue, somebody doesn't even have a vehicle. He's got a higher vehicle, but he's been issued a permit.
Thank you, Honorable Jacob. The Director Vita, when you started, you said you were baptized in May. This issue of cross border started in 2004. And then we went to taking Parliament to the people in 2010, if I remember well. It was 2010. This issue was hot, very hot. But I think now it's more than the way it was when it started and in 2010. And we thought in May, we thought when you were saying as a collective go and sit down and put heads together, when you were saying you will familiarize yourself with what is happening and you will definitely deal with it. But today we're sitting here with a report where I don't know how to say it. The secretary, I feel pity for you because they appointed you to come and present to us something. All the stakeholders, you yourself, you just came as a secretary to say I'm going to talk on this. But this is not what everybody has agreed on it. And to come here, the MEC was also part and parcel of what should happen. But you bring something to Parliament where an honorable member of the executive of Free State is not aware of. Really, this is, I don't know whether to say it's a disgrace or it's disrespectful, but when you were called to come here as a collective, when you received the invitation from the Select Committee on Public Service, you should have immediately put together heads and say, what are we going to say to the Select Committee? But what you did,
you just sit on the corner and put these few things together. You can shake your head, but that's how I feel about it. Don't shake your head, because you look on page 6, I looked at page 16. Meeting planned for the 1st of August was postponed as National Department of Transport, particularly the coordinator and convener, was not available. Then also, 5th September meeting was postponed on request by the Department of Roads and Transport.
Yes.
As the HOD could not make it to the meeting. The meeting of the 18th September also had to be postponed after the Department of Roads and Transport reported that the MEC was not available. And then, you know, emergency meetings called, the DDG, the CEO, and other CDRTA members were not available for the meeting. So on the next page, if you can explain to us what a team to update it was set, and they managed to draft a model. Explain to us who set to draft a model. Because my understanding, if you call a meeting, people you, whom you are inviting to the meeting, if they are not going to be available, they would say, before even the meeting time comes, for this date we are not going to be available. Because everyone was here in this house when we were saying, we are going towards the end of the year, festive, where we must solve this problem as a matter of agency. And CBRTA, what's your CBRTA? As a board, you must tell this committee, the select committee, whether you still want to be where you are, or must we say we are losing hope? Must we put a new board in place? I mean, if you come here and sit down here and record us, if you need, like one member said, if you need information, you can request that information from the chairperson instead of coming and, you know, putting your tapes to record. You are free to do that, but as an entity of government, I think you just took a wrong step. And even if you saw that maybe you didn't meet as a team, maybe last night you should have called the meeting, sit down together and understand what are you going to say to the select committee. You really understand this committee, and we want measures, monitoring measures, the strategy that you would put in place. If chairperson, if we were not very busy, I was going to request that let's go and camp there and hold this meeting there so that together we can see what we do for the people. But now our schedule is very, very, very busy. But please, let's work. Chairperson, when we were talking today, my hand was up to say, can we send this delegation back and say they must come tomorrow, even if it's after 5 o'clock, and give us the right information. I wanted to say that, to say because they didn't meet, they didn't discuss, let them go and put their facts straight and come and tell us what they're going to do. That's how I feel, Chairman.
Colleagues, let me try and summarize this matter. You see, Advocate Opas, you know, to all of you, let me start with my members first. Or else, let me do this.
See, honorable members, I think I don't say other people, they are not matured. No. I mean, in our life function, you have been tested, you have been baptized with fire, holy oil. See, this incident which is happening, Mama, you are right. As I indicated earlier, when we're supposed to chase you away because of the following things which have been illustrated. See, Advocate Papa, abandona bakhona bagandile. We didn't reach a stage where we are going to seal out that this is so. You are the same one of you. The mono MEC who compelled. It was not by mistake. We will support him. If some of you in the Free State or somewhere in Israel, you think that will fail him, because we are going to expose you. Members, here is the thing. If needing the experience, do you still remember when we charged with the Pombo in Section 101B? First meeting when we go there, they got in the resistance. But as the time goes on, in Bonnerud, we go smooth guns at the duty. Same applies to here. Don't point a finger there. Because, you see, no matter we've received one side of the report, but it tells you, Mama Tem, you're right, I think you are coming with that one. The secretary, whatever, you see, I want a person who's honest. I can give you credit, but you captured some of the things which we know. Because if you compare this, and you compare our minutes on the 28th, in our own minutes, what we have captured, are in our meeting, in our findings, we spoke about some of these things, that whatever is there, captured it. So coincidentally, what we have captured here, to me, is good, because it reflects what is there. But the mistake is that there is no improvement. Why? First thing, when we met some times ago, 2011, if you can recall well, about 2011, whatever, 2010 or 2011. We said
2010.
We met in 2010. We said, you must make sure which you meet member takes association. You can't play a league. It's not a league without our teams. In league, Huba League is because of our teams. Our teams, when they take a decision to dismantle, you must know that you're going to be affected. You can be Department of Transport, you can be CPRTA, you can be disbanded. It can. Because you are there because of the leaks. And unfortunately, now we leak. I want you to appeal. There is a thing which was raised by Babu Chekos. You were right, Babu Chekos. Do you know, we believe that you call the Sango. That is the national body, which was elected by them. But that's why I said, we must never allow to be deviated, because some of the taxi association, the experience which have got is that by they elect in the national body, at the end, whatever they want you to do, whatever, don't go to that one. If there is a body which is there, it's there. So it's up to them whether they participate or not. The fact here, what we have realized, which has picked up from this report, if I won't go to each and every slide, but I will repeat what was said by the members. If you go to slide 4, which says select committee was not impressed with the progress made by December 2012 and May 2013. On your slide number 4, last paragraph. And you go on. What lot of do that? You see, implication problems. You pick them right, Mama. I'm a paragraph 4 from the congested or what congestion you spoke to, non-compliance and ongoing violence. You take the association, please, even with you,
Let me set an example. As I indicated, when I said some people take us for granted, I mean everybody take us for granted in Free State as well as nationally. We don't want taxi violence. And you forgot one thing. It happens in Mpumalanga, Mama Themba. It happens in Mama Bicha. There was a time, issue, I say, Lerenberg, takes association of Lerenberg and Limpopo, they were fighting so much. The proposal which they are doing, some people they thought it's light. We went underground and we involved some police by then, they let them know number before the Hawks, before the Scorpions. There was a team, task team that I'm born. Of which, for some people they got about 150 years, 120 years. But I'm just saying, when I say in Ngamazan, we are our parents, because everywhere around in Africa, if there is a problem, go to the taxi rank, we as we get every answers. I say in Gabi in team, we need you all of you up here in Free State. But don't allow a situation, the problem is labeled to me to them. You see, many of us step by step letting me. On slide number 7, Yakuluma, paragraph 1, last, second to last, which went around, I won't go there, it's there, it's captured. Instead of the key one. You go to on slide number 8, it's talk about select committee requested the OT to intervene. Underline. We requested, so I'm for assembly. What must we do? Some of our own, I mean, I'm understanding, if you are a DG, if you are in whatever in that particular department, you must know which our hope is you, because you are running the administration. So if you go in and it's failing, you know, mina lang kulele kwa ni organization ni kulele wo mibati mjwembe, utipu tata into embargoed. Ena kapume langa pani, you take it and take it out. You are a sellout. Don't take things which are still embargoed, still be discussed. Take them out with an expense whose other people will die. We don't appreciate on that one. It's there. Mina, I was just checking some of the number proposals, proposed special dispensation models, whatever, are there on slide number 9. They say you go to slide number 10, You know, paragraph 1 and 2, select committee do what. You know, you go to slide number 16, what number slides I kept, you see, come to check us. Some of the things which we have proposed are there. The issue is one, it's implementation. Because it seems that some people are still defying us. People are defying us. Connect MEC, you see, I'll fight for you. I born which one, of course, you forgotten that you were produced by this institution when I'm work. Some of the people are misinforming the leadership. They don't tell the leadership. While they must declare, if they do have personal interest, they must declare. They must say so. No, don't sacrifice Mubabu Kombele. We'll divide. Therefore, I'll fight because some of the things started before when I was talking to MSU Manion. Even there. You see, you go to slide 16. Right, Lenian Kalisa, too much. Which Mama Temo was reading. You know, it means that same thing Lenin is, we said, there will be no leak without a machine. There is the question now. Not to Baba U DDG alone. The whole team, Bongi, they are there. Who advocate Bongi, they are wrong. I can't remember a single day you write a letter telling us DDG refuse you to participate in the meeting. And not even a single day. As I know when, you know. So don't come when you MEC cover what is zone here. You can't. If there was a problem, we are one of our associations because one they depend on us. But put him later, no apologies. If Ubaba Ngapa, UTTG, failed to do 1, 2, 3, you should have indicated. Man, we are exposed at this thing. Ustake a date. What in such a date, this meeting failed. Meeting planned in August 1 was postponed as National Department of Transport, particular the coordination and convener was not available. 5 September, meeting was postponed on the request of the 15th Department of what, HODs in a meeting. 18 September, meeting also had to be postponed because of department to MEC was not available for what. Emergency meeting following violence, that why must we meet only if there is violence? Why must we meet only when there is violence? I'm going to correct you, my mistake. With you are a saint, no. Can you meet me in the city? You are what? You are a saint. Because I can't remember even a single day you go to the MEC, we have been put in a task team, this not doesn't happen. Yes. I can't remember. And purposely, if you recall right, Mama Beach, I and the man member, we have. I said them. No. Any addition. I wanted you to act. You failed to act. So what? You are the same. You go here, you continue. Emergency, well, I spoke about it. Emergency meeting called on 2nd October. The DGCCO and other CBRTA members were not available in the meeting. Is that? It means that our meetings are washed. There are no meetings. So, who's failing Comrade Jacobs? All of them are failing to perform the mandate. They have never done. You know, we put it clearly that you see, let me put it this way. I'm not having teachers and servant, my voice is up. You see what you kinda let the choice performance. What? If I want to evaluate you, assess it with what? With what? Because you are being assessed by the issue learning as well on each other. This time luckily as committee, we never gave you things. But we gave you a task to coordinate. Basically, I'm meeting jointly and identify my task. You are the ones who identify the task. You didn't identify it. Actually, it's in the implementation. Our interest is implementation. So, colleagues, Mina. You belong to one family. And as your proposal, any short, colleagues, let me highlight something before I come to some of these things. You know, your proposal proposed the electoral body to investigate the matter and what. You see, to me, there's nothing wrong to propose that, but you ought to be careful. Because we don't know what is where and where move. There are a lot of people who came to Parliament and request 1, 2, 3. And when is that to propose to initiate those proposals? Your heads no caso rolla no. Meaning if they can ask me, I can implicate all of you. You understand? You see, what also which is what us as a committee, there is an you know, this thing they could not mama Obama, which is, you find that some of the colleagues they're against the same government. How can we be in the government and be against the same government, which is really, you see, I've got a problem with the road control committee, which was created by you. If when testing, you're supposed to take, we said, all stakeholders, identify my stakeholders and put them on board. Why much but differ? But which of course, for your information, I'm not addressing you as a person, but as a committee. There's one body from the taxi who refused to come here. We call each and every, even Sangoku, we call them. We can't force them to come here. There is a body who refused to come here. We said, it's okay. There's a mistake here, was some of the colleagues. They thought that there is a difference between the portfolio committee and the select committee. No, this is one thing. people, they believe that they will recognize the other side. They won't recognize us. If we are requesting that, they must do this. They are making a mistake in terms of the powers given upon us in terms of the constitution and the paper. You are accounting officers. Umama Tem was correct. We can call you if we like. If we are not busy, we can tell that to us. We don't care. We can extract the parliament. We said we are going overnight. We don't care. But we can't do that because we believe that you are ruining it. We gave you a chance. Just imagine, from 2010, 11, 12, it's 3 years now. Maybe, only remember, some of the people are taking chances. They thought that because next year it's the end of what parliament, it's the end. No, even if you can go, but records are remaining. I repeat, some of you we have a chance because they do have a legal background. Instead of protecting the institution, you are playing with the institution, selling the information outside, and doing all these things. Your proposal is good, but don't cry when it comes back. And the thing we have to, you see, I'm worried, honorable members. You see, I was happy from first input to honorable member Mapicha, honorable Kruneval, honorable Mlenza, honorable Chekos, Umama Temba. All you are talking the same thing. But the fact is one. If you plant a seed, you plant a seed where it will grow. But if you plant a seed, what do you expect? Simple. We requested, because we realize that, I'll repeat again. What we have detected in about 2010, 2011, the coordination, there was no coordination. And then, success get a specific person. DDG to do for us this and this and this. So, being the same. Okay. Minagin Wanaganjin again. This tax team means that even our problems, because the tax team, if they have one good number of teams, they should have sensitized us so that the heads must run. Number one, I don't expect a person, you know, sitting in the office in the MEC a behavior like this. Go to MEC, Magafe, my challenge, I touch information, I need other people to attack the MEC. At the end, other people are evaluating us as if we are failures. Why do you are a failure? I don't expect such a thing. It must never happen. Number two, I don't expect the very same team, as I indicated. It might be a small team, but big. Careful, we read the documents. We keep the information. That's why we are consistent. When we call you, we are consistent that this thing never happened. This thing still never happened. Same thing for 3 years. Coordination, that's all. It's worse with the taxi association. You are failing to meet. You want to please me to go to the media, to TV, because you want it to be seen. With TV, with Nina, you've done justice. By attacking the department and you won the case. I won't disclose those recommendations. I can have a different recommendation to some of the senior leadership of this government to say, these people are not capable for their due responsibilities. Because simple thing which is, as I'll repeat again, time and again, you are the ones, ourselves we have set the task team, you are the ones who have identified some of the things which supposed to be addressed. But you are failing to implement the thing which was suggested by you. All of you are the same. Animity, Anishangani, you are misinforming MEC, you don't tell MEC the correct thing, you are misinforming even the cleaner himself. Even the cleaner himself. Because you wanted to see this government to be a failure. You want to see this government to be a failure. That's what you wanted to see. That's why I don't want to suppress you, but with this regard, let us not allow them to respond. Number one. Let them go back. must never keep quiet. Nonke. Uba kukhuma lo mntu. Why are you quiet? Why are you quiet if nabe whatever lento yenzakala lapha kuleni? Why need to leave not? You are never, number one, you were interviewed before you were employed to this. You said you are able to do what. But now if you are doing the opposition, please, it mustn't happen like that. I'm going to do for me. I'm going to move next. We gave you an no. If we are going to, I must give everybody the opportunity to say something. Go back and work. I never. Because the if you do have a problem, simple, send us a signal that no. Let me have a problem. As one of them, because of 1, 2, 3. You never, all of you. What about la baba baba dad, about my parents? And then, I'm sorry about okay. Yeah, to all the taxi associations, please, we are still requesting you, would you take it cool, don't fight. Don't name the mistake. I even said one day, we are all on the chat. Some of you, they don't know that we are all on the chat. Some of your taxis, they travel up until Emma Mining in Mpumalanga. They travel all the way. But why are you doing it? Because you are used to us. Don't allow executive or maybe from the staff side to abandon the land officials. Our officials are the key or are the front. Like we have the corner. Simple. That's what it takes any bag of members because Mr. Zulu and great with chief. Sisters will have a proposal about this because I need to talk to you separately. I need to talk to you separately. For them, they must go and work and do the work. We don't need attacks. We don't need. I don't suppress you because you failed me. You failed us. You failed the MEC. It's catch up here. It's not me. And I don't know the other report, what was going to do. Because anything by the line of colleagues, ne? Remember, they've said there is another report officially in a teaching. And we never gave it a chance. So if somebody had respond on what? About how we synchronize the most understanding two revisions of the report and come up with progress, which what is it? And then China, we ought to see which is the MCC is prefer if there's any proposal. Because this one, it is an embarrassment. Misleading leadership. Misinforming leadership.
For the time frame.
The time frame, let's do this. You are right. You are right, Babu Jekos. Baba Association, this time is also a presser. Association. Okay, Baba, you make a man. Baba, the Mutella Amma members, may you have proposed a time frame. Mutella Amma members, propose any time frame. Mama Matisha? Okay. Mama is reminding me very sensitively. The other report requests the copy to remain here. Because we are the members telling the ladies in the time frame. Babu Jekos. Use a
yeah, Chair. I think there is not much that they have to do. Just to synchronize the reports as well as to come up with all the suggestions that we have put here. We have made a lot of inputs. We have to take that into consideration. And time for two weeks. We're just giving the next week, that other week. We want the report.
About your report.
I just wanted to clarify something, that this presentation is basically a summary of what is in the main report. And that report captures the all developments, what has happened.
It's small. We agree with that one. We don't differ with you. We take it, but our concern, sifuna an integrated report. Kungabi i-report yakamama Themba, imama i-report yakababusibandi, i-report yakabani. That's all what we wanted. Integrated report. But our responding, we don't attend this report. Our reasoning is different.
Chairperson, the date is the 5th of November. That is our 2 weeks time from now.
Okay, let us not put the date, as long as we put them 2 weeks, so that it will depend on us. You see our problems in Parliament as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think it's quite useful and positive criticisms. We really accept that from the members. I know that 2004 and 2013 successor entitled matters most. I take this with a warm heart. I'm not offended at all as the leader of this task team. So I know that successor entitled. So 4 weeks, 4 months, or 3.5 months since I was here, and 2004 today is quite a period of time. What we will do, we have recorded all the comments from the member. We will include them into our report. But let me just say what Madam was going to say in terms of this report. This report, we are going to consolidate and clean it. But we are going to be working as a team. For the information of the members, we were supposed to meet at 9 o'clock last night. But we, for some reason, it did not happen. I won't get into the why it did not happen. We wanted to seriously deal with it.
That's why I can take a specific. We don't want those reasons. Mm. Because you push the members to say, why are the meetings hangashali?
Yeah.
Why are the meetings they don't sit? That is our thing. Baba, there was one hand on the behalf of the Texas Association. Please, Baba, let's have a discussion because we gave them a green light. Shoot it in from the river yet. Please don't push us too far. What's up?
Thank you, Chairperson and the Honorable House. It's indeed a privilege that I be given this opportunity just to say a word or two on behalf of the taxi operators themselves that have been invited to this meeting. Chairperson, thank you. I'm a chairperson on my own right. I know once the chairperson has spoken, summarizing everything, we don't need anybody to speak, but I'm compelled this time around to say something, because all said and done, when we move out of this house, we must go and there must be an operation. What kind of an operation is going to happen? As it is two conflicting issues and operations that are enforced at the cross border where we are operating. That is my concern, Chairperson. And indeed, I would not go back. I wish I was given time to respond on the report and also make recommendations, because indeed, Chairperson, as ordinary taxi operators, before 1998, as the report as stated by the Secretary of CDRCA was put in place, there was no violence there. But the report clearly states in the introduction that every problem started with the introduction of CDRCA. Now, as ordinary taxi operators, we used to stand under the trees, make agreements, and those agreements were working and there was peace. Hence the agreement of 2005. So, our plea as operators is that we all want to operate. And we can operate. We have proven that beyond any reasonable doubt that the agreement makes everybody, those from inland, Gauteng, northwest or whatever,
Thank you.
I could elaborate. I met the general Ndate Munyempau, and indeed he advised. It is clear that the three options that were supposed to mention left out option 2 and 3, because those were enforcing the SSEs. And indeed the general was fair and square to me to say, you see, I'm here to enforce this act, because the problem is the act itself, the Cross-Border Road Transport Act. And indeed he understood. He said, everybody else can do whatever, but the act is there. That is why there are court cases now, that is why there's violence, and indeed we abhor violence from all points where it comes from. Even from our own members, we abhor it, and we don't want it to happen. But if things are left hanging, it hits at us as the leadership, as if we are endorsing all cases.
It's nice for the discussion.
Thank you.
Yes. You see, other own members, Angazu Baba from the Chairperson side, is amazing. You know, to us is really worse. As I made an example, you know, Mr. Jacobs, who sometimes we don't sleep. The way this matter is so serious, you forget what you deal. You never talk about one free state border. We talk about borders of South Africa ourselves. And then we appeal once more for peace and calm and peace, because there are a lot of things involved. But you're doing no justice if I don't allow MEC to say something. And then we start singing fire. MEC on. MEC.
Chair, thank you very much. Chairperson, with no doubt, I have heard what the committee say. And I understand the mandate and the powers vested to this committee. But I want to give a guarantee to Parliament that there will never be an issue of economic benefit that supersedes the life of the people in that area. And I'm saying to this committee, I'm ready to go to jail in defiance of that court order, that cross-border has cited to be a part to it, if there is violence in that cross-border, in that Free State province. I am prepared to defy that court order for the sake of the lives of the people in that province. And I will do that. And I want cross-border to go and join other people and go to court against us around those matters. The last thing, Che, that I want to say, we will deal with issues of violence as directed by yourself, so that there should be a harmony there. We've been up there up until yesterday. Mr. Clark has been working on that order so that at least there should be law and order. Because, Chair, there's a very wrong thing that is raised by cross-border on the SACU Memorandum of Understanding of Economic Relations of Lesotho and South Africa. And we can never push relations at the expense of the lives of the people. And when I discuss with Mr. Chavis and the minister, when the CEO was not in the country, I was genuine that there is a serious matter that is going at the border, which the honorable member Mbuyiselo raised with me. And I was trying to make sure that there should be no loss of life, not to undermine the law that the cross-border is implementing. But when they carry a book, Chairperson, and say, I am implementing this law, I think it's wrong. And when our own colleague in the department, cross-border is a part of the Department of Transport, it's not something that is equal or separate from the Department of Transport. We are a one government of the Republic of South Africa, and nobody can be cited as going there. And I want to tell them, as they are, gentlemen, you must know, there will never be violence in that cross-border. And there will never be economic push at the expense of the life of the people in that border. And I'm prepared that cross-border must go and sign, and the warrant of arrest must be issued, because I'm going to undermine that court order if our people are dying in that border.
mistake, the last one, the latter one, I couldn't understand it. I want open for discussion. I know that these things are emotional, but at the same time, all of us, we are being guided by the Constitution of South Africa and also by having principle and protocols. We're supposed to respect as well as protocols. That's why we are saying to anybody, if you do have something like an issue, I suppress you today. Because I wanted to sit down and talk some of these things and raise it in a relevant platform. Coincidentally, yourself, you are so lucky because you sit in some of the platforms where we don't sit, where you can raise that matter. But we, I think that you mustn't be captured as if the MEC is instigating whatever in that particular province. It mustn't be kept like that. That's what I'm requesting. It mustn't be kept like that. You mustn't investigate. Because like myself, I can have, I will share with you this thing. Well, very well what is happening in the borders. I forgotten the gangster of the first state. If you go to Mpumalanga, we got the Ama Ninja. We know what they are doing. They are conniving with our own people. At the border of Mpumalanga, we got the Makumakuma. We know what they are doing. They are naughty. And also to there is a gangster. We know it. So we don't go to this assistance, but we appeal to anybody that we need peace to those particular areas. And so that when we meet again. But soon we need you to make your homework. Go and make your homework. And then from our side, I wanted to, so that I would request the members to remain just for a few seconds, and then I'll propose. You can remain. Okay, no problem. Others can be released.
I think I'm going to be a little bit more.
I can tell you now, there are no licenses. Yes, we said 90% of those, there are no licenses. Now, a proper picture, there are 300 licenses, and then 200.